Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download that app anywhere. Your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store, you get the big orange background, white A, Odyssey app. Download it. Once it's there, look for WILK News Radio. Like us, and that's it. You got us. Works seamlessly with your CarPlay. It's a good little thing to have. You don't have to worry about that signal in the mountains here. You can also get us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search The Rob O'Donnell Show or iHeartRadio platforms now. You could find us as well. It is 410, 80 degrees here. We are watching, you know, what updates are happening here with the big meeting in Washington where President Trump is meeting with the European Union and President Zelensky from Ukraine to see what comes about there and what the next step is going to be. We have more on that. We're going to talk about later in the show as well as far as some groundbreaking. The 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about some groundbreaking things that have been brought up. Article 5 protections for Ukraine, which is indeed a huge step, and we'll explain exactly what that is. Also about 4:30 today, we should have another guest in for you to update you on some big news for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So stay tuned for that. That should happen about 4:30-ish. This next story, somebody said, Rob, I haven't had a chance to look. Did Zelensky show up in a suit and tie? He did. He did show up in a black suit. So, and it was mentioned during the initial press conference by someone in the press. And Zelensky kind of clapped back at him and says, hey, we see you're wearing a new suit today. And Zelensky chimed in and says, yes, you know, I did learn from the last time I am wearing my suit, and it appears you're wearing the same suit you were wearing the last time. So he kind of clapped back at one of the reporters who brought it up. So it was a nice exchange there to lighten the mood in what is a very serious conversation that's going on. So we're keeping our eye on that. If anything, any public statements come out of it, we may go live to it. But we're monitoring it. This next story, I posted it earlier today, and it made me extremely angry. Probably more angry. I don't know if it probably more angry than I should have gotten. I think it's outrageous, and I think anyone who sees it should be outrageous. I posted it earlier today, where this Georgia daycare worker was arrested for child abuse, authorities said, as the father of the toddler under her care shared heartbreaking pictures of the boy with a black eye and swollen face. I posted the pictures of the individual arrested, this 54-year-old Yvette Thurston, and this 15-month-old child that is bloodied, black and blue, eyes swollen shut. It enraged me. It literally enraged me to the point to where, and this took place in Bainbridge, Georgia, which is just north of Tallahassee in the Panhandle area. It enraged me enough to look how far it was. That's the emotion that this got for me. How someone could do this to a 15-month-old child. And there's, you know, personal outrage because this child looks similar to and is at the same age as my grandson, and it enraged me. I don't want to go there. If this was personal, I'd probably be spending life in prison. The egregious part, though. Now, Yvette Thurston, 54, faces three counts of first-degree child abuse and one in the first-degree aggravated battery. Felony child abuse and felony battery on a 15-month-old. She was taken into custody Monday following the report of alleged abuse at Little Blessings Childcare in Bainbridge, close to the Florida border. Corey Weeks, a U.S. Marine and dad, took to Facebook to share pictures of the frightening injuries suffered by his just over one-year-old son, Clay, this little angel, on his first day at the church child care facility. First day of daycare, 15 months old. The fact that he had to go to social media to get anything, because the daycare, through some of the reports, claimed that another child did it. Tried to cover it up. Claimed another child. You look at the picture. It's on my Facebook. You look at the picture of this young child. A gash to the right of his cheek, his mouth. A gash down his nose to the corner of his mouth. Entire eye socket is purple and swollen shut. Enraging. Here's the worst part, though. She's out on bond. $44,000 bond. Had to pay a portion of it. And she's out. Weeks post-incident, graphic pictures show Clay's badly battered face, including a black eye, swelling on his right cheek, and multiple cuts. And I'm not just talking about little cuts. These are deep gashes. This 54-year-old woman beat this 15-month-old child like he was an adult. That's the extent of damage on this little kid's face. This is every parent's worst nightmare, and we had to live it, and we're still living it. Describing how Clay and his older brother, Wyatt, 3, had started daycare facility on Monday. We were told another child in Clay's class did this type of damage with a plastic toy, he said. Before adding that he eventually tracked down video surveillance footage of the incident showing the 54-year-old attacking his son. Nothing we saw was for faint-hearted, especially happening in such an innocent moment. So not only is this 15-month-old beaten, but his 3-year-old brother watched it happen. There is not a level of pain I would not cause this person if this was a family member of mine. And I give this Marine and dad all the credit in the world for remaining, keeping his composure, but having to go to social media to get anything done about it. Being told another child did it with a toy. The severity of acts of violence to our son has everyone confident that this was not her first time. We trusted this facility to care and love our kids, as on their first day that was violated, he wrote in a social media post. Now, there's no evidence that this is not her first time. That being said, how do you do this to a 15-month-old child at all and then lie about it and be okay with it? So I would start investigating, are there any other incidents? As long back as this woman ever had care and custody of children. Clay was rushed to Memorial Hospital in Manor, where his injuries were treated. Specific details about the case or allegations were not immediately released, but Decatur County investigators confirmed they were allowed to view surveillance footage from the daycare that contributed to the investigation. It is our understanding that the employee has been terminated by the child care program, a spokesperson for the Georgia Department of Early Care and Learning told the Post. As our investigation is still in the early stages, DECAL, which is the department that investigates this, will continue to work closely with law enforcement and all relevant parties to ensure comprehensive review of the facts, the statement continued. Representatives for Little Blessing Child Care, who runs this child care, did not respond to a request for comment. But again, the most egregious part is bail was posted. How does anyone in the legal realm, a judge, look at the picture of this 15-month-old? My wife couldn't even look at the picture. That's how bad it is. When she saw that I was visibly disturbed researching this story earlier today. How someone could do this? Now, to another human being, but to a child, a defenseless 15-month-old child, probably took his first steps a month or two ago. the lack of humanity with all I've seen in this world never ceases to amaze me. The fact that this had to go to social media, the fact that they had to track down the video, and the people who run this daycare weren't investigating this immediately, and went with a story that another child did this with a toy without any research, blaming another child. Probably, I mean, they have to be in the same age group, right? Between a year and 3 years old. If they identified a single individual, I hope those parents know so they could take action against this daycare. You mean to tell me you accused my infant child of felony assault on another child when it was one of your daycare providers that did it? And again, I've seen pretty harsh and bad crimes in my life. This stunned even me. The use of force on this 15-month-old child. And the fact that bail was given and granted. And she's out right now. I don't think there's an amount of justice that could suffice here. There's not an amount of jail time that would comfort me. This is just one of those things you just... And I understand crimes have parameters on what the punishment is. But this just takes it a little too far for me. And again, it enraged and angered me to the point where, and I'm not going to lie, how far is this place? And obviously, common sense and calmer demeanor took hold. You know, I'm going to ruin my life for some piece of crap like this. Hopefully justice is served. Because with the justice system we have, posting bond for someone like this, literally should be spending every day in jail until a trial.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's just disgraceful. And again, this story is posted on my Facebook page if you want to take a look there. But it's not for the faint of heart. It is not. It's 4:20, almost 4:22 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together.
Come back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So Stacey Garrity, Pennsylvania State Auditor General, she's the state treasurer, has announced that she will be running for governor today. This morning was her announcement. And I reposted her kickoff commercial, her campaign, and we're going to play that for you now. I think it's a good commercial.
I'm Pennsylvania State Treasurer Stacey Garrity. When I enlisted to serve in the military, I took a solemn oath to defend our country and to honor her principles. And I worked very hard to live up to that commitment.
Stacey Garrity not only served 3 deployments in Iraq, including Operation Desert Storm, but Stacey also reached the rank of colonel and earned the Legion of Merit and the Bronze Star twice.
Today, I'm announcing that I'm running to become Pennsylvania's next governor, and I'm giving you and your family my solemn oath that I will work hard every day to fix the problems Josh Shapiro has created.
While Josh Shapiro has been spending his time running for president and fundraising in California and other liberal states, raising money from far-left megadonors like Bloomberg and Soros, critical problems in Pennsylvania have been ignored. Shapiro has even failed to get the state budget done on time, which may lead to our schools not receiving the funding they need. That's unconscionable.
To know just how much of a failure Josh Shapiro has been, all you need to do is look at the facts. U.S. News and World Report now ranks Pennsylvania near the very bottom on our economy, education in our classrooms, and our state's infrastructure.
But it gets worse. Shapiro's also given PA families the fifth highest tax burden in the country, skyrocketing utility prices, and the highest rising food prices in all of America. You can thank Shapiro and his allies the next time you go grocery shopping.
I'm going to make your family one more promise. I will never embarrass Pennsylvania with scandals, unconscionable behavior, deleted emails and cover-ups, and a total lack of transparency like Shapiro has.
As Pennsylvania's state treasurer, Stacey Garrity has made ethics in her office and full transparency a top priority. And Stacey has exposed millions of dollars in fraud and inefficiency and returned over $1 billion directly to taxpayers.
Stacey Garrity.
Stacey Garrity is also a strong ally of President Trump and, like the president, supports protecting health care and welfare benefits for vulnerable Americans while requiring able-bodied recipients to work for their benefits and ending benefits for those here illegally.
Over the coming months, I hope to get to know you and your family better and share all my ideas of how we can make Pennsylvania more affordable, bring more jobs here so our young adults have more opportunities to stay here, and how we can bring integrity and honesty back to the governor's office. You see, I'm not just going to ask for your support. I'm going to work hard every day to earn it.
Stacey Garrity for governor. Finally, a governor more interested in raising hope than raising our taxes. Visit GarrityForPA.com to join Stacey's team.
So that's it. The official announcement dropped today. When I had the treasurer on a couple weeks ago, I did a little research into her military background. An extremely impressive colonel in the Army. She three combat tours. I highly recommend you research her military service. It's truly things I did not know. I knew she served in the military. I did not know she was a full-word colonel in 06. And some of the things she did in her career, I'm glad she touched on that during her commercial. It's going to be interesting because she did gain more votes on a statewide ballot than Governor Josh Shapiro did when she ran for state treasurer. So it's going to be interesting. I think this is going to be a good campaign. Listen, Josh Shapiro, the governor, has a full-blown PR team that of course, us, the taxpayers, are paying for. But it's what he's good at. He's good at PR. He's good at running for the next office. What he's not good at is actually doing things in the office he's at now or in now. If you look at anything that he's done over the past couple of weeks, all he's doing is elevating his personal profile, his personal who he is. So it's going to be an interesting campaign. So it's 4:30, coming up on 4:31 here on WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 4:35, and I'm happy to bring on Pennsylvania State Treasurer and candidate for Governor of Pennsylvania, Stacey Garrity. Madam Treasurer, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be with you.
I just played the commercial that you launched today on your Facebook page. I thought it was an excellent commercial, really explaining your background, your military service, and your plans for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Tell us about the campaign that launched today.
I know. I'm so excited. I just have a totally different vision for our Commonwealth than Josh Shapiro. You know, we have the fifth highest tax burden in the nation. So if I'm elected, I'll lower taxes, bring more jobs here, make our community safer, make sure, you know, our kids can play on the playground without worrying about, you know, getting harmed, and make our state more affordable.
And those are big everyday things that everyone in the Commonwealth thinks about. So a lot of the things that I'm hearing is this transportation issue where, you know, the rest of the state wants to shoulder the burden for Philadelphia and Pittsburgh on the shoulders of the rest of the state. And it's stalling our budget again, the fourth year that we don't have a budget. No leadership as far as trying to push to come to an agreement to get budget. How would you be different in Harrisburg if you were in charge?
Oh, my goodness. So first of all, I would not leave the Capitol, and I would insist that everybody else stay until we did have a budget. I wouldn't be flying around, you know, the country campaigning for president while, you know, Pennsylvanians are worried about these programs that they really rely on.
One of the things that you can't, and I know we've had this conversation, is he's very good at his PR campaign, and he seems to be focusing more on that than being the governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And between the deficit we're running and the rainy day fund that he's drawing into, and again, traveling all these places and being funded by these mega donors that have nothing to do with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, that's going to be a battle for you PR-wise to take that on. I'm sure you're up to the task. A lot of people probably don't know you got more votes than him in the statewide election, as far as you got the highest vote getter when you were running for treasurer. So you can't slouch on that either.
Well, you know, let's face it, this is going to be a tough race. I am not as polished as Josh Shapiro. I'm not as good of a politician as Josh Shapiro, because obviously I'm not a career politician. This is my being treasurer, is my first political office. So it's going to be a tough race, but I will tell you this. I am a really tough worker. In my first race for state treasurer, I don't know if you know this, Rob, but I got outspent 11-1 and pulled out a victory against an incumbent, a very popular incumbent, in fact. And then, as you mentioned, I just got more votes for my reelection than any candidate in Pennsylvania history, including Josh Shapiro. So I have been an underdog my whole life in the military, in business, and in politics. And I think that's why I've been able to succeed when the odds are stacked against me.
I love the fact that you really keyed in on your military service on your campaign video, having two active duty military officers as children myself. If you want to give, because I before I got you on the phone, I told people they should really do research on your military history. It is truly impressive, the things you've done. Three combat tours, you manage the jail over in the Middle East. Tell us a little bit about your military for the people who don't know.
Sure. Thank you for having me do that. So I was in ROTC in Bloomsburg University, and it was funny. Never planned to join ROTC. I came home one weekend from college. My dad had a recruiter sitting on the couch, and kind of the rest is history. So I always joke that my dad kind of tricked me into it. But obviously, I loved it because I stayed 30 years. So three deployments all to the Middle East. So Desert Storm, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom. And that last deployment, which you alluded to, I was the acting battalion commander for Camp Buka, which is in southern Iraq. So we had 7,000 detainees, which were largely green, meaning they would eventually be repatriated back home. I had 225 on death row, which had been sentenced to death by the Iraqi criminal court. I had 1,200 soldiers under my command. And what was amazing was that and this is according to the International Commission of the Red Cross, we were the very first internment facility to have zero abuse allegations, and we had zero escape attempts. So I was very blessed. So in 2016, I hit my mandatory retirement date, which, since you have two kids serving, I'm sure you know what that means. So had I not hit my mandatory retirement date, I would have never considered running for state treasurer. I would still be serving, because serving was and is the honor of my lifetime. But I bring those Army values, which are loyalty, duty, respect, service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. I brought this to the private sector. You know, I utilize them 24/7 as state treasurer. You know, I try to run the treasurer's office like a business, which you can see, because we've broken every record. And I'm from a very small county, Bradford County, one of the most rural in Pennsylvania. So service has been a part of my entire life, like it is for, you know, most folks in rural PA. Service to your community and your family, you know, and your church. And so every day, I like to say this, every day that I get to wake up and serve hardworking Pennsylvanians is truly a blessing to me.
And a lot of people here, you know, the Treasury's office, you're giving millions of dollars back that are owed to the taxpayers of Pennsylvania in uncollected funds and such like that. But one of the things that I saw and was very special to me is a Purple Heart you just got back to family. And people who don't know, when someone receives the Purple Heart, their ID, their name is engraved in that Purple Heart. It is theirs and that family's Purple Heart. They have earned that. They have been the recipient of that. And you made sure that got back to the proper family recently.
I did. So we get military decorations, which I say are the most priceless items in our vault, which, fun fact, largest working vault in the country, is right underneath my office. So I've given back about 517 military decorations since taking office, including 13 Purple Hearts, 3 Bronze Stars, and actually a Gold Star medal as well. But this last Purple Heart, we gave back on Purple Heart Day, and it came in as contents of an abandoned safe deposit box, but there was no known owner. But because the soldier's name was engraved on the back, we traced it back to his son. So this was a Vietnam veteran. Gosh, he was at the Valley Forge Hospital. He was wounded in action, and that's where he got his Purple Heart. And because of his injuries, he got medically discharged. So he died at a very young age in a house fire. And so we found his son, who actually works at Fort Indiantown Gap, and we arranged to have a ceremony. And it was really meant so much to his son. His son could barely get through his remarks. He was, you know, he was so emotional about it. So it was a wonderful ceremony. But, you know, when you think about it, every military decoration, every medal that we get, it is a story of somebody's, you know, sacrifice that they made on behalf of all of us.
Something money or uncollected funds can't buy.
That's right.
Absolutely. So you brought up integrity and the baselines that you've learned serving in the military. That's something that you've attacked your future opponent on. A lot of things, deleted emails you've brought up, and integrity issues. And the fact that, you know, I think it's no secret to everybody that he has his eye on other office and not really for the dedication of the people of the Commonwealth.
Well, that's right, unfortunately. And you know what? I go to all 67 counties every year, and I'm really focused on what Pennsylvanians are telling me. And Pennsylvanians are telling me that government doesn't work for them. You know, high approval ratings, they don't pay the bills. And yes, Josh Shapiro spends, you know, more and more time outside of Pennsylvania campaigning for president. And, you know, at the same time, our Pennsylvania families face some of the highest taxes and utility costs in the country. And so I think that we have such an opportunity to change the direction of our Commonwealth. I just have such a different vision of what we could be. You know, we could, if we just unleash the natural gas that we have under our feet, we'll create tens of thousands of jobs. That's billions of dollars in opportunity, billions of dollars in money for our communities. And, you know, it will give us some financial breathing room because, Rob, every single year that the governor's been in office, they've run a deficit. And I can tell you right now, in 2 years, we're going to be out of our surplus and the rainy day fund. And you and I know what that means, increased taxes. And we cannot afford to increase taxes on these Pennsylvania families that are already shouldering such a high tax burden.
Yeah, coming from Lackawanna County and being a Lackawanna County resident myself, we're no stranger to increased taxes, and we don't need it coming from the state as well. Madam Treasurer, if people want to follow your campaign in being a candidate for governor for Pennsylvania, I see you have Stacey Garrity for Pennsylvania on your social media and Garrity for PA.com.
Yes, on the website, and then at Garrity for PA on X.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you around the Commonwealth. You're no stranger to Northeast Pennsylvania. I thank you for calling into the show today on the day that you made this announcement.
No, I'm honored to be on your show, and stay in touch.
Will do. Candidate for governor of Pennsylvania, current state treasurer Stacey Garrity. Thanks for joining the show today.
Thanks.
Thank you. It's 4:46 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 4:53. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? Before I start with that, though, there is an update in this meeting with President Trump, Zelensky, and the European Union heads here, where Zelensky has stated that he wants Trump in any future Putin meetings that take place. So President Zelensky of Ukraine has stated that he wants President Trump there or involved with any future meetings with Vladimir Putin, the Russian president. So that's an update coming out of that ongoing talks
now. Let's get back to today in history. 1920, the 19th Amendment was ratified. Tennessee became the final state needed to ratify the amendment, guaranteeing women the constitutional right to vote. It's a landmark victory for women's suffrage movement after decades of activism, led by figures such as Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and Alice Paul. 1846, U.S. captures Los Angeles during the Mexican-American War. U.S. forces occupied Los Angeles. The resistance by Californios, Mexicans residents of California, would lead to further clashes before full control was secured. 1846. I mean, you think we can give it back? We'll see. 1862, the Sioux Uprising begins in Minnesota. The Dakota Sioux people launched attacks on settlers due to broken treaties, food shortages, and encroachment on their lands. This conflict, also known as the Dakota War of 1862, would become one of the bloodiest Native American uprisings in U.S. history. 1954, the Communist Party banned from elections. The Communist Control Act was signed into law, outlawing the Communist Party in U.S. and limiting rights to individuals associated with communism during the Cold War. 1954, now we just got socialists. 1963, James Meredith graduates. James Meredith, who famously integrated the University of Mississippi in 1962 under federal protection, became the first black student to graduate from the institution. Great achievement there through great adversity. Some notable birthdays. 1936, Robert Redford, acclaimed actor, director, and founder of the Sundance Film Festival. 1920, Shelley Winters, Academy Award-winning actress. 1934, Roberto Clemente, legendary Puerto Rican baseball player for the Pittsburgh Pirates, humanitarian, and Hall of Famer. So that's pretty much today in history. We also have this Hurricane Erin that's out at sea, and it's not expected to make landfall in the United States. I was actually talking to a friend of mine who's an admiral in the Coast Guard of an East Coast region and told me that it's truly, and I posted this on my social media as an advisory, it is still summertime. People are taking vacations. I know people right now who are in Myrtle Beach. I know people who are in Ocean City. I know people who are down in Tybee Island. This is truly wreaking havoc across the board with riptides that are extremely dangerous. There are red flags in the Outer Banks. As a matter of fact, there were some mandatory evacuations due to storm surge at the Outer Banks at some places today. So if you are going on vacation, just know that the water is extremely volatile because of this hurricane. It's expected to strengthen. Its eye has solidified where it was more undefined up until earlier today or late yesterday. But as per one of the officers in charge of the United States Coast Guard, they are warning everyone that even though this does not make landfall, it is still a extremely dangerous entity along the eastern seaboard from Florida all the way up to Long Island. So it's supposed to turn further out to sea later in the week, but as of right now, how close it gets to places like the Outer Banks is still unknown. Again, they don't expect it to make landfall, but it is creating storm surge. It is creating greater than usual waves. It is creating riptides that are dangerous. In the Bahamas earlier, yesterday or the day before, there were two deaths from Americans in where Celebrity Cruise, I believe, docks, one of their private islands that their cruise ships go to, because of the rough surf, because of this is stirring up the ocean, something incredible, because, you know, this has been bouncing between a category 3, 4, and 5 hurricane, even though it doesn't make landfall. So while Erin is forecast to stay east of the U.S., impacts from this monster storm are felt up and down the East Coast, including the Outer Banks. And again, Sunday, officials in Dare County ordered evacuation for Hatteras Island and declared a state of emergency for the entire county due to life-threatening, and this is a direct quote, life-threatening impacts to Dare County coastline. Over the weekend, ports were closed and flights were canceled, impacting travel. Local officials told residents to prepare for potentially life-threatening impact from Erin as it brushed by the Caribbean islands. And its latest advisory from the National Hurricane System remains, it's somewhere between a 3 or a 4 right now. It's been going back and forth, but its eye wall has strengthened. And again, not expected to make landfall, but is still dangerous. So if you are on the coast, East Coast somewhere, or if you have loved ones that are there, give them a warning. You may not want to go too deep in the water. And even that, knee high, if those riptides get bad, they'll take you right out. And you'll have spending a lot of time on both the south shore of Long Island and the Jersey Shore. Those riptides are no joke. And know what you're looking at. There are very good graphics to make yourself familiar. But again, I know a dozen people right now who are on vacation affected by this very thing. And they said it's been rough. They haven't even really gone in the water. They've gone to the beach, but not even gone in the water because of how volatile it is and how the warnings are being taken serious. So if you're not going to listen to me, listen to one of the officers in charge of the United States Coast Guard who's saying it's dangerous. Don't go out in the water beyond your capabilities. So again, even though this Hurricane Erin does not make landfall, it's still causing some havoc. But I think we've done pretty well as far as hurricane season goes. So far, it's not over for a long shot. 5 o'clock here at WILK.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.